many conservative Christians, those that call themselves believers, are so fearful of the repercussions of standing with Christ, of standing with the Lord, they're canceling themselves. All it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to remain quiet. Now I want to focus on chaos in the sphere of religion, spirituality, and the church. There's been a massive falling away of people being connected to local church bodies and identifying themselves as Bible-believing Christians. Deception, discouragement, and distraction has captured people so that in many churches, the attendance now isn't even half of what it was before COVID. We're living in a post-Christian era. And not only this, I want you to consider with me that many of us have held on to the scripture that if you teach a child in the way that he should go, when he or she is older, they will not depart from the faith. How many of you have heard that scripture? You know what the challenge is with quoting that scripture today for many Americans? Is that there's no place left for their children to return. To say it another way, the people, the young people that are not involved in a spiritual Christian atmosphere, they will not return to the church because they were never in the church. There's nothing to return to. Raise a child and the way he shall go, he shall not depart, they don't return. And we've seen that happen in many people's lives. Even in the hippie movement, the baby boomer movement, many young people strayed from the faith and they got married, they had children, they came back to the church. But not anymore, because the young people today were never in the church. According to a CBN report, more than 60% of those claiming to be born again, age 18 through 39, believe that Jesus, Buddha, and Muhammad are all equal in regards to a path to salvation. The study also reported that only 5% of 18 to 39-year-olds hold a biblical worldview, 5%. We're talking now about chaos in the church. Revelation 6, John is reporting what he's seeing. Then I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say, as with a voice of thunder, "Come." I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Here's the interesting thing. This white horse, this is not Jesus. This is someone that looks like the Savior. This is a spirit of mass deception that's come into the world for the purpose of conquering with the deceptivity to make people believe that he's true spirituality, that he truly represents something good, that he truly represents the highest form of man's aspirations, the highest form of, quote, godliness. It's a total deception. It's not the white horse of Revelation 19. It's a false white horse. It's a false spirituality, a false religion that will cover the earth immediately preceding Yeshua's return. Jesus, Muhammad, and any other guru, they're all part of the same team. It's this white horse right here. Yeah, there's only one white horse that atones for sin. It's the white horse of Revelation 19. It's a totally different horse, a totally different person. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is faithful and true and righteous. He judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with the robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Not the false white horse of do-gooders today, the do-gooders that have rejected Jesus, and they think that they are the true spiritual guardians of the planet. All their causes, all the injustices that they're fighting, all these things are good, but these guys reject Jesus. They're their own God. They're a Tower of Babel. Many of you probably watch the Shark Tank, as Cynthia and I do. Have you noticed on the Shark Tank that almost every new business has to have a humanitarian cause? Oh, we started this business because we were moved that this poor innocent soul was suffering somewhere. We started this business because we were moved that plastic was in the ocean. So we wanted to create this non-plastic form of whatever it is, product that they're doing that wouldn't, they're in it to make money just like the people before them were. It makes me sick. They all have their humanitarian causes. It makes me want to vomit. They're just doing it because it's the end thing to do. Revelation 12:9. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. That's what we're dealing with today. And this internet technology that's broken in has been the vehicle of the enemy to stifle anybody that isn't getting aboard with this demonic agenda that's broken into the country and into the earth. And so we read, for example, in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel's looking into the night visions. He says, I kept looking, and that horn was waging war with the saints. This was the horn that had been empowered by the Antichrist. That this Antichrist was waging war with God's people. And he was overpowering them. Now, let me ask you this. Is that happening in the earth right now? Is the Spirit of God being quenched by the powers of darkness? Is cancel culture real? It's real. What is cancel culture? It's a modern form of ostracism in which someone is thrust out of social or professional circles to make them irrelevant. And you and I are the bullseye. We're the target. Teachers, when it gets to chaos in education and cancel culture, they're finding that if they bring up biblical values, they're being reprimanded and fired. They can't say that, you know what, God created us male and female. They can't say that. Now, let me say that I realize there's a ton of hurt and brokenness in the earth and many people that are struggling with gender identity, homosexuality, and all the other aberrations of normality that go with this confusion. I believe and understand that people are hurting and struggling and they wish they weren't dealing with it. But there's a difference between having compassion for people and empathy for people and loving people and trying to help people and putting our arms around people and wanting to nurture them back to wholeness and health and giving them the one answer, Yeshua, the Transformer. There's a difference between loving people healthily versus affirming them in their homosexuality. And this is so critical and so important because the first way we are defined as human beings are male and female. In his own order, God created he them. He created them male and female. He created he them. It's the first identification of ourselves. We're male or we're female. Not because we choose whether we're male or female, but we look at our genitalia. It's not something that is subjectively decided. It is something that is created by Hashem, by the Creator. It's not a matter of individual decision. It's a matter of divine order and what we have been created, which is self-evident. But we are now in a state where if you come against people as they're claiming, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, they're claiming to be a woman that's a man that's a woman, a homosexual, and all the other transgender issues. If you stand against that and say, you know what? It's not normal. It's not the way God intended it to be. You are in danger. You are in danger. And it depends on if you're in the schools, if you're a scientist, if you're in the psychiatric field, if you're in entertainment, if you're in technology, you are in danger of losing everything for taking a stand that 10 years ago, 8 years ago was just common sense. This is what I'm talking about, beloved ones, about incredible mass deception and confusion that's on the planet. And you know what? It's happened. It's over. It's not going to return. The world is not going to go back. No, it's not going to happen. It's going to get worse. It's going to a place of Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, before Constantine, the preceding 12 emperors of their own empire were not exclusively heterosexual. They engaged in homosexual activity. Nobody thought anything about it. It was normal behavior. But when Yeshua came, there was a mass exorcism that took place all over the earth. Constantine came to faith, outlawed homosexuality. Western civilization was changed. We became grounded in Judeo-Christian values. The earth was exorcised of the demons that existed in barbaric nations before Jesus came. But I want you to see something really interesting here. Matthew 12, verse 43 through 45. Basically, what it says here, and this is really interesting. Many of us have heard the story. And the story is that Jesus cast a demon. There's a parable about Jesus casting a demon out of a man. And what happened was that Jesus talked about the fact that when the demon leaves the man, we all know the story, he goes out and he looks for another body because demons need bodies to inhabit. And when the demon couldn't find another body, even a pig, remember, we even find demons wanting to inhabit pigs. They need flesh. When it couldn't find another body to inhabit, it came back to the man and that he was cast out of. And when he saw that the man hadn't cleaned his life up, he hadn't got right with God, he hadn't brought his soul into alignment with Hashem, with the word of God, the demon saw there was an open door, a legal entrance for him to step back in, but he brought with him seven other demons that were worse than he was. This is what's really interesting. The next verse says, thus it is with this generation. That's really interesting because when we hear about that parable, we usually think that it's just the man. We think of it as an individual, when a demon gets cast out of an individual. But Jesus says, so it is with this generation. In other words, the demon's going to go out of a generation and return with seven demons more wicked than himself. And that really was an eye-opener to me because I remember years ago reading that Jesus talked about all these things that would happen. And then he said, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. But I looked at the people that he was talking to and I thought, but they did pass away and the things, Jesus, that you spoke of didn't take place in their lifetime. And then I thought, well, a generation could also mean 40 years. So I thought, well, maybe, for example, what Jesus was referring to is the generation that began to see these things happen, that generation is the generation. But for example, they said Israel, the nation that sees Israel become a nation, that generation will not pass away till all the other signs leading to Jesus' return happen. But that was 1948. So that generation's passed too. Then I began to realize that a generation in Yeshua's mind was the entire human race. The entire human race. This generation, humanity, will not pass away until the demons that were exorcised out of it when Yeshua came come back in because people didn't repent, and the demons that come back in are going to be worse than the demons that were cast out of it originally. We're going back, my friends, to Sodom and Gomorrah. This is a graph right here. Americans identifying as LGBT by generation. The LGBT community, Generation Z, those that were the 19 to 20 of approximately 25-year-olds, Generation Z, today's 19 through 25-year-olds, 20.8% identify as LGBT. 20%, over 1 in 5 of our young people are identifying themselves in some way as participating in the transgender movement. Now, if that isn't society gone amok, corporations, Target, TikTok, Bank of America, Burger King, Disney, Apple, Google, and the list goes on and on and on. are doing something to show their embracement and support of this LGBT movement. Children as young as elementary school age are indoctrinated with this mindset that there's no such thing as normal. That no, don't limit yourself to thinking of yourself as male or female. Don't box yourself in. If you begin to have feelings for somebody of the same sex, embrace them. Come to us and talk about it, and we'll help you transition. There's a lawsuit in California of a mother who's filed a lawsuit because her 11-year-old daughter, she is claiming, was manipulated by a school counselor planting seeds in her daughter's head that she was bisexual and then introducing her to the ideal of transgenderism, 11 years old. And you know what's even worse? The counselors will not tell the parents about it. Can you imagine having a young teenager, an 11-year-old, that goes to a school counselor and says, I'm confused. I had a feeling towards somebody of the same sex. And the counselor says, it's okay. Let's explore that together. There's nothing wrong with that. Look at all the pride. Look at the gay pride. There's nothing to be ashamed of. And they even begin to boast it up. If you're 13 years old and you're obviously a male, but you tell me you're female, I have to refer to you as she or her and whatever your new name is that you've created. I have to as a teacher. And you know what? Your parents, if you're that kid, won't even know about it. Is this Meshuggah or what? Teachers in the educational system are being silenced. Professors are being refused tenure. A recent survey by the Harvard Crimson reveals that less than 1% of Harvard's faculty is made up of conservative Christians. Educators that hold to a biblical worldview are finding no path forward. They can't get jobs. They can't get promoted. This chaos and culture cancel has not only broken into education, but it's broken into science. Scientists that believe in intelligent design are finding themselves canceled, not being promoted, not being esteemed, not getting articles published. It's unbelievable. Remember what we just read in Daniel 7:21? They were waging war with the saints and overpowering them. Do you feel like that's happening? We feel almost like now that we're living in a land that's occupied by the enemy. We're talking about the most powerful institutions, business, and entities on the planet, canceling voices of conservative Christians and those that hold to a biblical worldview. One way the media is doing this is by taking quotes and pictures out of context. In other words, you're giving a 15-minute talk on something and they isolate one sentence that you said and they flash that one sentence on the news screen, on the radio, or in print, and they identify you as some ignorant, bigoted, narrow-minded, hateful Christian instead of hearing the whole story. Totally out of context, painting you to be something completely different from what you really are. Notice what Yeshua said in Matthew. You will be hated by all nations at that time. Many will hate one another. That's where we're moving into. It's unfortunate that many conservative Christians, those that call themselves believers, beloved ones, get this now, this might apply to you, are so fearful of the repercussions of standing with Christ, of standing with the Lord, standing with truth, standing with biblical values, speaking out in the name of Yeshua alone as the only Savior. So many believers are so afraid of the repercussions for taking that stance. Get this now. They're canceling themselves. All it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to remain quiet. If the salt loses its saltiness, what good is it? Are you ready to pay the price?